Hello, welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 39. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And I'm Irish Pride.
And we've been on hiatus.
The aliens returned and we had to battle them to the death. We won.
Or mostly it's because of relocation.
That helps.
So we were all in one location, all at once. Hooray!
Yeah, New Zealand branch is closed down.
Well, it just got moved. Back to Colorado.
They're back at Gameslave HQ now. So, since this is our first time back, it's kind of going to be a little light on random news stories. But Irish Pride and I just recently got back from E3, so we're going to be kind of going our takes on that, along with one of the returns of probably one of the best sci-fi animated shows to come out in a while. Personal opinion. So, where should we start?
Well, should we tell them about our LA adventures or just go straight into E3?
Let's go with the LA adventures. Okay, folks. Little hint. If you're used to an area, say, Denver, where it's actually still relatively safe late at night or something in most areas, relatively, don't expect that to follow over when you travel somewhere. We got into LA probably around 9:30 at night, got to our hotel, got checked in, got our stuff upstairs. It's about 11 now, but we're going to go find some food. So we start walking around. Made it about 3 blocks before we're like, okay, let's head back to the hotel. And on the way back, we're pretty sure we passed by some ladies of the night and their
business associates.
That's a good way to put it.
Talk about hookers and pimps, just saying.
So.
Oh, you guys sound like country bumpkins.
Just saying, it's not what we expected right next to, keep in mind our hotel. Well, at first I thought it was in a really bad part of town. No, we are probably about 4 blocks away from the Disney Symphonial Orchestral Hall.
That is LA.
But daytime was actually rather nice. We got up, and it was like 2 hours before the shuttles were going to start running. So we just walked from our hotel to the convention center, about 1.7 miles away, so it took us about half an hour to walk it. That was actually relatively nice. The buildings kept us in the shade, and yeah, it was actually relatively nice.
Continue.
First thing we see when we get there is people gathered around $1 million. We found out it was a fake $1 million, but still, they are taking pictures, and it was apparently this big deal that Virgin was doing about winning $1 million by playing video games.
How do you win $1 million playing video games?
The contest.
Okay.
You sign up with Virgin, and I think what they were pushing was looked like it was a Halo 3 kind of tournament type thing.
Ah.
But so, then we moved inside, we got our badges. Badge things was real easy, because at that point we found out that the little piece of paper they send you in the mail is your badge. They just basically fold it in half and put it in a holder.
That makes it official, though.
Yes. Well, they scan it, too, so they know you showed up. But that's also why it's non-transferable. It has your name on it. It's not like, well, can I get this, change this? Nope. It's already printed up. I've already got it. And that's why you're screwed if you forget it. Let's see. So then we walk inside, and we're greeted by a Sims 3 Prius that is now available for download at the Sims 3 store. Cherry Bear's giving a thumbs up on that. That's followed by, apparently, NOS had some heavy advertising in this because we're seeing a NOS, what did you say, that was kind of like a rally car?
Yeah, NOS rally car.
And they're just giving away bottles of stuff left and right. I didn't have any because I can't stand the shit, but they were handing it out left and right.
You see, NOS is an energy drink?
Yes.
I'm sorry, there's totally different energy drinks in New Zealand.
There's more energy drinks than I think there are sodas now.
That's kind of scary. Okay, what would you think is... Okay, so I know you guys put up quite a bit onto the website already about your E3 adventures and seeing stuff. So, I guess, what was your, like, favorite this day? What was your least favorite day? What do you think was, you know, the most exciting?
Let's see, one of the coolest things I thought was just the energy of all the people in there, because typically you go somewhere and you know there's gamers in the crowd, but they're not being real public about it, because some people still have a negative imagery of what it means to be a gamer, despite the fact that the average gamer is, I think, like 35 and a parent. Yeah. That doesn't change them from thinking that they're all 18 and dorks. But, so that was really nice, and then the booths that are set up in this place are just awesome. Warner Brothers was the first booth we saw because of the entrance we went in, and we're greeted by a Nazgul on his horse. In addition to that, the staff was really cool. We were standing in line for the Mortal Kombat trailer, and the guy that was actually covering the line at the time was actually the lead producer for Fear 3. So we're talking to him, and it's just like, yeah, after this, we're going over there. So he ends up giving us these little badges, these little wrist rubber band things, kind of like the Armstrong thing.
Yeah, Armstrong bracelet.
Only it's a red, white, black. It says Mortal Kombat, Lord of the Rings, War of the North, and it has Fear on it. And that let us skip the line completely, so we didn't have to stand in an absurd line again, which was always nice.
Not only did we get to skip the line, we got exclusive E3 swag. There's a bit of that.
Everybody was real nice, polite. Even the security staff that have to keep, you know, certain people from certain spots, super polite. They would answer any question you had for them. Probably the thing I liked the least
was LA. Hi-yo!
Well, seriously. For the most part, we're lazy, so we didn't really go anywhere outside of the convention center for lunch. And neither did anybody else. So we're talking long lines for overpriced food. And this one lady, I kind of felt sorry for her, because she had an appointment to get to a meeting in there. So we held her spot in front of us while she's trying to get a soda, and they're out of diet soda. She went to all of them, and apparently they all run off with the same little syrup machine.
Diet soda's not, or Diet Coke.
Diet Coke's not
yeah,
supposed
diet
to
soda
be
can be clear, but not Diet Coke.
So it's like just pure soda water.
It's worse when you get, like, Sprite or something. Hell. So I have to take it a big swig. It's like,
hell.
But yeah, that was probably the worst part overall.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Because we were kind of finicky about where we went and how long we were willing to stand in lines, we actually got to see a good chunk of what we wanted to. Some people might give us flack for not trying to do the PS Move, but I don't care. I really don't care at this point. Show off some practical games, and I'll be interested later. Same thing with Kinect. Kinect was fun. I did play one of those games because, amazingly, there's only, like, 3 people ahead of me, so I didn't have an issue with that. And I got to watch them play, figure out how the game works, and then kick its ass. But the actual Microsoft Kinect demo, I was too impatient for. I swear, 30 minutes, we moved probably 4 feet.
You have told us your game mistake.
So I just ping there?
Yeah.
So I gotta tell my friends, I'm like, you have E3 in your mind, I have to say multiply that by 100, and I think you've got there. A simulator, and I thought we knew what we were getting into, but that first day, after the first day, we're like, holy crap. It was insanely huge, which is a good thing. But my most favorite thing was the booths themselves. They were very well done, especially Nintendo. We had a clean look to it. But Mortal Kombat looks amazing. I'm not a huge fighting fan, but the presentation they had, and the swag probably helped too. But the presentation they had was
very impressive.
Very impressive. And the game's still not slated to release until 2011, but it still looks pretty good.
Fatalities are back for those that haven't read our articles yet. Along with, basically they have like most 2D fighting games I've had since, I think, Marvel versus Capcom, your little energy bar at the bottom that as it builds you can do more stuff. Well, this one basically, it has 3 specific bars. If you let it build to 1 bar, you can do a bigger version of your normal move. Like, Sub-Zero does this move where he freezes the ground. If he uses one of those, he'll freeze the ground further out. Something, you know, kind of catch your enemy off guard. If you wait till 2, you can use it to be a kind of a combo breaker to get yourself out of one of those things where somebody just pumps you against the wall and will not let up on you. You can use that to break out of that. If you wait to use all 3, you can perform a special move that does about 40% damage on a character. And it makes everybody in the room go, when it goes off. Because basically, it goes into slow motion, they go to punch him, and then you see an x-ray of the character's internals. So you're seeing bones breaking, muscles snapping. And they're like, yeah, we fully modeled the internals of each and every one of our characters.
That's a tiny detail!
Yeah.
It is sick. No. Sick so, and a good vacation.
It has the very much old school Mortal Kombat vibe. They went back to Mortal Kombat 2 for a lot of their inspiration. Everything's realized in 3D, but it's 2D gameplay, so it's more Fast and Furious, like you remember, instead of the spinning, turning, and just going around the person, starting closer, backing up, moving closer, punch, backing up. None of that. It's, you gotta get in Fast and Furious real quick. One of the things they wanted to show off so we could see, Fatality in the first fight of, Scorpion versus Sub-Zero, is they have custom finishing animations for all their people instead of just the still shot of and the random text below. For example, Scorpion's, after he defeated the guy, he punched the ground, a circle of fire popped up, and he jumped down into hell.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like these guys are going elsewhere.
He already has, like, you know, a posh apartment down there or something.
Well, he is some sort of demon ninja.
I mean, he doesn't have skin to start with. And they have,
how weird Mortal Kombat was.
One thing they added, which is kind of cool because they're able to do that stuff now, is, of course, you take battle damage throughout the thing. And one thing they pointed out is like, yeah, and you may notice you're getting some blood on you. That's not necessarily your blood on you on your character model. You can also get your enemy's blood on your character model. So you can get, you know, perfect health and still have, battle damage on yours because of that.
You want to make me drink my own blood.
So that was actually an interesting attention to detail, I thought. And they brought back some of the old levels that people remember, such as the, spiked pit, that where you're battling on the bridge, and the, fatalities, you punch them off the bridge and into the spike pit. Overall, it looks very much old school Mortal Kombat, so if you enjoyed Mortal Kombat 1 or 2, it looks like you'll be enjoying this game as well. Next up, we can go directly to Fear 3, family. And this actually is two-player co-op, but it's not just two clones teaming up with each other, because one person plays Point Man, the original character from the first Fear, and the second player plays
Fettle,
who was the, I would call him the main villain of the first Fear game, but I guess technically that's Alma.
Actually, that would be Alma. Technically.
So you play him in his spiritual form because he's dead. So you have the ability to do stuff like lift people up with your powers and shoot them with, again, some weird ghost powers. And you can also inhabit people's bodies for short periods of time. And this is all kind of based on like a power meter you have, kind of like Point Man from the original. He had a limited amount of time he could do the bullet time system. Same thing, he has a limited amount of spectral powers are limited by this 1 meter. And when you inhabit somebody, I don't know if there's another way to get out of him other than this, but they just blew up the body each time and then took all your power for a few moments. And I'm not quite sure if Fettle has a health bar at all because he's already dead.
It could be, staying on this plate bar.
Well, and the way they introduce him is, yeah, opening cinematic has Point Man getting rushed by all these troops, and he takes them all out until Fettle, except for the one that Fettle inhabits, and he's like, oh, come on, is that all you got? And then he just shoots the guy in the face with the shotgun. He's like, that's better. And you just see Fettle standing there at the point, because he had just stayed standing there, as the corpse flew backwards. So it makes me wonder if Fettle actually has a health bar at all. And then, for those of you that are actually wondering the timeline of this game, it's about 9 months after Fear 2, which is a very critical time, because Alma is pregnant, even though she too is dead, so I'm not quite sure how that works, and about to give birth to... Yeah, I don't know what to give birth to, but it can't be good.
I am not following any of this, because I'm not playing any of this.
All I know is most people are like, play in a dark room at night with headphones on, freak most people out.
First Fear did. I didn't play the second Fear.
Tigerhawk played it. He said he was actually pretty good, but you play a completely different character other than Point Man. And Alma kind of tricks him into impregnating her.
Okay.
He gets pulled into this... He is trying to go to this facility in order to enter this plane in order to beat all
spoilers,
that.
Spoilers!
Yeah, sorry, spoiler alert for Fear 2. He's trying to go to this plane to defeat Ulma per the order, per somebody that's listening to that's giving him orders and he's trying to follow. And after everything is done, it turns out that it was actually Ulma leading him there to get him into this machine so she could get pregnant.
Okay, this is twisted.
Yes, it is. And they had a lady there dressed as Ulma pregnant. She was creepy.
That's my least favorite thing. I was standing by here taking my picture, acting all cool, but oh, Jesus. Still kind of him. I know she was just acting, but she did a damn good job.
She did. Let's see. Sega had a surprise game that's actually surprisingly fun called Vanquish. Kind of futuristic game, third person, over-the-shoulder shooter. Red versus blue, because the bad guys were red, so, and you were kind of a bluish-grayish color.
It's always red versus blue.
But overall, the gameplay was actually pretty fun. You can kind of dash around to get into cover and such.
Yeah, kind of like a Gears type cover system.
Yeah. But at the end of the demo that we were doing, you start in this arena, you fight your way out of the arena to the outer edge, and this giant-ass robot comes out of the center of the thing, and you have to basically defeat it. And this did have a quick time event, but at least it had a decent effect, and you saw the fruits of why you did it. Because Irish Pride is playing this, he jumps onto the robot, and it shoots out this, it starts shooting these missiles at him. Well, he's spinning around the missile, the first missile, then grabs the second one and throws it back down the missile tube.
So it's kind of interesting. It looks like it's going to have some epic boss fights, which
one of the games were pretty interesting. One that was advertised the hell out of was Homefront. Set about 2026, 2027, somewhere around there, Korea has taken over the United States.
Well, first North and South Korea united as one.
Yeah, North and South Korea united as one, then they took over most of Asia, and then they launched a communication satellite. That was to beam a message of peace that basically was a giant EMP weapon that took out most of the computer systems in the States, fragmenting the army and allowing Korea to invade, starting by taking over San Francisco, and then they moved over to the rest of the States. So you play as a freedom fighter for trying to get Korea out and bring everything back to the way it was. The character you play as is the luckiest SOB on the face of the planet. Because, I mean, first you start off by being told that you've been unconscious for several hours and no man should have lived through what you were in. Then they go and do a demo of the actual combat. And first, there's a misfire of this basically napalm missile that goes directly over your head. So you have to basically jump off of your safe concrete fortification, run through this firestorm, and somehow manage to get to the other side and get on this wooden tower, where you're finally out of the smoke when this chopper comes and shoots down the tower. So now you're falling out of the tower, land on the ground, somehow you survive this and are still conscious, when Korean soldiers come up and put a gun to your head. And just as about to pull the trigger, this tank thing comes shooting by, misses you by a hair's breadth, and takes out the Korean soldiers.
You're good.
This dude is the luckiest SOB on the face of the planet.
How did you get all that luck to, you know, liberate the United States from the occupational forces?
And this was just a stuff. This was just a fraction of the stuff in the South Hall. We spent an entire day just in the South Hall. We never even touched the West Hall until halfway through the second day.
We're gonna go with you guys next year. We'll have to like split up into two or three parties.
We'll just have a better plan of it. Actually,
we'll go
kind of wink it.
We'll use the show planner on E3's website, which is an excellent tool from what I've heard, so you can actually plan a path through it, and we'll maybe actually try and make an appointment to see some of this stuff.
And hopefully next year we'll have the media badge so we can just get blind, so we can just get locked for stuff.
Well, you know, prepare questions, make appointments with, like, Valve and Bethesda, because Bethesda's entire booth was appointment only.
Which was so disappointing, looking at all these other websites, a lot of their games are best of E3.
Business?
Yeah, with their new first-person shooter Rage on a lot of awards.
Next year!
EA did have a pretty impressive boost, though. They have The Sims 3 coming to consoles, where they're basically returning one of the funnest things of The Sims, like the original building one, Sims where you can invite disasters on your citizens. You can create firestorms, earthquakes, poltergeists, using karma points to come in.
Is Godzilla there?
I don't know.
They
didn't show Godzilla, but I
didn't. That's really mean he's not there, though.
It was just a demo.
Maybe it's a copyright issue.
Well,
never was Godzilla. It was always like a giant, like, Gila monster or something in old SimCity.
Except if you played SimCity for the Super Nintendo, then it was Bowser that actually came through and destroyed your city.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Because I learned something interesting. Apparently, SimCity was originally being designed for the original NES. And to help to have a better title to be slated with the Super Nintendo when it was getting released, they basically kind of scrapped it towards it was almost finished with the NES, and then they completed it off for the Super Nintendo. They gave it a slightly bigger lineup. Because it was one of the first games out for Super Nintendo.
Cool.
Just random thing. I learned it in magazines.
Random fact.
Well, I was going to say, you could invite disasters in, you know, The Sims before. Just, you know, vault. Fill in a house with lots of fireplaces and fill it with wood.
And no doors.
Or swimming pool just... with no ladders. You're flailing about in the pool.
And if you want, you can also help your Sims in the same karma points.
That's no fun. Okay, continue.
And they did say, at the end of your Sims day, you are judged.
He looks at your poor Sims.
Well, there's actually...
It can be nice to them.
But you know what I'm talking about?
She's nice. Care Bear is always nice to her Sims.
Well, I gotta at least say, at least I got some good swag.
Yeah.
Did he give you the Zelda
shirt?
Yes, finally. It's the only thing I asked for.
The Zelda Queen,
I'm like, I just want Zelda swag. He asked me just one thing. Whatever did you get your hands on?
I guess she's a Zelda fan, being her alias is Zelda.
Yeah.
As a new Zelda game, actually, what the whole 10 minutes we got to play of it is actually a lot of fun.
Did you play the whip? I gotta see if you can
do
the whip.
I did not use the whip, but I'll use the
whip. I didn't use the whip. I used the bow.
I used the bow. I used the beetle.
Beetle?
Yeah, they have it's like an arm-mounted beetle thing which you shoot off and then you control it. And you can use it to grab stuff and bring it back to you. Or you can also use it, say there's a bomb flower and some enemies over there. You can shoot it, grab the bomb flower, and then drop it on the enemies.
It's like an old-school bomb chew, maybe. Well, bomb chew, at least you can pilot about Majora's Mask to blow up.
Yeah, so...
Maybe that's what he would have
gotten. It's a fun little toy. So it was a fun little thing, although it took a little bit of a chunk of my time. And it does require Wii Motion Plus in order to use, because the sword is supposed to have pretty much one-to-one movements, only I found it to be near one-to-one during this one puzzle with an eye where you have to basically turn your sword in a circle. It seemed to kind of be a little jumpy when I was doing that, but this game's probably in pretty early development at this point, so I guess I can give them a break on that.
But they didn't give you guys any details.
Nintendo was pretty tight-lipped about any release dates on anything that, except for, I think, Metroid the Other End, because it comes out at the end of August. But, we asked them release dates for the 3DS, they said they didn't have one. Of course, then we're at the Sims thing, it's like, yeah, we're looking forward to the Sims on the 3DS in 2011. So, the 3DS is coming out in 2011. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, whether that was a purposeful slip, an accidental slip, or they didn't know that Nintendo was trying to be quiet about the release date until after E3, don't know, don't care.
2011 is still half a year away, and it could be December or November 2011, which is still quite a week further away.
Most likely it'll be holiday season, because that's when all consoles are released. When has the console not been released in the holiday season? My point exactly.
Jaguar.
I don't know when it was released. I don't know, the Atari? Commodore? I don't know.
Yeah, but the Xbox is already out.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to release that now to get people prepped for Kinect when it comes out November 3rd? 2nd?
Boating Day? If it comes out on a... when did the game stuff come out? It was always Thursday or Friday, so no, it wouldn't be on voting day.
Games?
Yeah. It was kind of on Friday. Friday. Yeah.
Okay.
The release dates are on Fridays.
Yeah.
Movie dates are on Tuesdays.
Most video games are actually on Tuesdays. Blockbuster's just weird. Because GameStop, most of your pre-orders come in on Tuesday, either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning.
It's been so long
ago. I remember Blockbuster was always, like, 3 or 4 days behind the game stores.
Yeah, they were.
We never really got anything for sale. It's mostly for rental. I missed the free movies.
Let's see, what else did we do while we were there? We walked through the Sony booth. That was about it.
We looked at it.
Because most of the stuff at the Sony booth was playable elsewhere. Except for Killzone and the PlayStation Move.
And Twisted Metal.
And Twisted Metal.
That's their longest franchise game, so they kept it.
I was going to ask them, since you guys haven't mentioned any of your podcast.
In the articles?
In the articles. That's what you guys did Thursday night.
Oh,
LA Riot, what's up? I survived it.
Okay, before the riot, we actually had gotten tickets to,
Video Games Live.
Yeah, which we would have gotten tickets to if we had known this, but it was the concert was the same night that the Lakers played their Celtics, and it was the last game of the NBA championships. And so to start off with, it was a pain in the ass to get to the Nokia Theater. Because we're walking there, you know, dumb luck, we actually walked straight there. And as we're getting there, the crowds keep getting thicker and thicker. We're like a block away. We're like trying to navigate our way through us. I kid you not, we are about 200 feet away from the entrance. Get turned around by police and the staff because they're trying to clear out the entire area around the Staples Center where the game's being played. So we walk about a block and a half away, and there's just police blocking all the streets. So finally, it's like, I go walk up to the one of the police and like, hey, here's the deal. We have tickets for a show over there. How do I get there when you guys have all the streets blocked off? So we end up walking through the police, two police blockades pretty much, in order to get to our the Nokia Theater to watch our stupid concert, which was pretty cool overall.
Kind of nice going through a police blockade. It was nice and open.
Yeah, it was nice and empty on the other side of the police blockade.
All the Laker fans. But yeah, the Video Games Live was epic way to end the E3 trip. You have to be a geek, though, because there's lots of so many.
Well, this one guy, he has literally a lightning finger. They don't know how he moved his fingers this fast and actually kept track of them. But he's, I guess, YouTube fame up playing Super Mario Brothers at full speed with a blindfold on a piano. And he did it really good. And they even redid it on stage to show that he didn't fake it, that he didn't speed it up on camera, and that he couldn't see through the blindfold. So then after they're all done, you know, everybody's cheering this guy on, standing ovation. He goes to walk off stage. The guy that's running the show grabs him and puts him back on the piano. He's like, no, you got a standing ovation. Now you've got to take requests. So it's like he played, what was it, Sonic the Hedgehog, an entire song from Final Fantasy. This guy must have, either he really did his homework or he's just really into video game music that well. And then he starts back on he did Super Mario Brothers 3 too, and he goes back to original Super Mario Brothers, and he's doing, I think it was World 1-1 theme.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing it, I'm thinking, it's like, hey, this sounds about the speed for when your time's about to go up. And then I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty impressive. Then we actually hear the sound when the time's about to be up, and he speeds up.
It was insane.
It was real impressive. We also heard songs from Shadow of the Colossus.
God of War 3,
Halo, Zelda, Final Fantasy VII, and Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger,
Castlevania.
Overall, if you ever have a chance to go to Video Games Live, I highly recommend it, and this is probably going to be the only time I'm going to recommend this. At the end of July, there's going to be a PBS special for Video Games Live. So tune into PBS.
I want to see it. Some part of it.
Yeah, it's really awesome. They've been doing it about, I think it's like five years now.
Yep.
I'm curious.
It sounds like they always do a show after E3 ends. So,
maybe hopefully
we can make it a tradition.
And you said it was like 3 hours or something?
Yeah, 3 hours and 15 minutes. You definitely get your money's worth. There's like a 20-minute intermission too, so you're not always sitting down. But it flies by. You can't tell it. you've been there that long.
And it was opened by a song by Fleet Street Boys called You're the Only One.
Yeah.
It has a lot of video game and anime references in this video they were showing, and it's freaking hilarious.
YouTube it. We'll put it in our show notes so you can find the link.
I should put Video Game Glide in the show notes.
Yeah. Let's see.
So, but after the concert was over, we decided that it ended like 2 hours after the Lakers won the championship. So we step out of the Nokia Theater, and the first thing we see is helicopters overhead. We're like, oh, this is a great sign. So we start walking with the mob towards our hotel room, because we just don't want to stand around. We want a taxi, but there's nothing, no taxi in sight, because all the roads are closed next to the Nokia Theater. So we migrate towards our hotel. Hopefully we find a taxi before walking all the way there. And there are mobs of Laker fans, of course.
It literally felt like we were actually in a video game, because it's like, there's police cars all over the place, there's the helicopters. I felt like I should be wearing riot gear or something.
We did see lots of cops in riot gear, though, but we didn't feel like it tear gas that night.
So finally, we got lucky, found a taxi, and it's like, yeah, it's going to be $10 to get you back to your hotel. We're like, awesome, that's actually cheaper than I thought it would be. Let's go. I gave the guy like a $10 tip after we got us there.
That's never a good thing when you're driving, and he has to stop, and he says, what the hell's going on here? Like, that's probably not a good sign. But we look at the window, they're just cops with riot gear, so I'm not sure what all was going on there, but it was good.
Yeah, watched the news the next morning. Apparently, people were setting fires to vehicles, jumping on top of people's Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
Yeah, driving on top of cars like surfboards.
Guns in the local area.
Yeah, apparently, person at our hotel, we're talking in the lobby Friday morning. Said, yeah, I heard like 6 or 7 gunshots outside of our window. I'm like, oh, good thing I was tired and fell asleep.
Yeah, but we didn't hear anything. It's like, yeah, I just lived through all those. Don't know. Glad I did.
Yeah.
And, okay, the Kawada Hotel. Great staff. Polite, kind, knowledgeable, wonderful people. We stayed in a freaking shoebox.
I mean, the beds were small for me, and if anybody knows me, I'm 5'5", so that's pretty pathetic.
And so I'm like 6'6", so my feet are off the edge of the bed easy. And the cables that they give you for the wired internet access are not actually long enough to reach from the port to the desk that they have set up.
Well, the first one we found barely reached your bed.
Yeah, the one that they actually have attached to the thing doesn't really actually even reach the bed. Then we found another one in a drawer. We thought, oh, this one should be plenty long. Well, we made it plenty long because our wall jack was technically broken, and the circuit board that had everything for the phones came off the wall. So we used the extra length in order to get it as far as we needed. We were the envy of some of the people at our hotel.
Sadly enough.
And then we literally, the space between the beds and the desk was just wide enough to fit the office chair.
Couldn't move the office chair.
Yeah, you couldn't get it out of there. You could turn it side to side, but you couldn't do anything beyond that.
Then when we first got that, I didn't even realize where the TV was. So I was talking to the simulator. I'm like, here's the remote. Where's the TV? Right there.
Little 19-inch flat screen.
Who was that?
Hey, at least it was a flat screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to flat.
But for a hotel room, it works. It was the cheapest one listed for E3, so if you're ever plan on going and being cheap about it, that's probably where you'll end up.
Good staff, small rooms.
Yeah, pretty much.
But when you're just going back and forth, not really living in the hotel, it served its purpose. It was our sanctuary by the end of the week.
And hey, pizza got delivered to the room, so.
I guess that wraps up your guys' E3.
Well, we could talk hours and hours, but.
But we have 3 articles up. Each day is kind of broken up into its own article with a bit more detail on stuff, including stuff like some of the other games we saw, and so on and so forth, along with some built-in pictures. Me and Irish Pride kind of wrote them together, then Irish Pride and Zelda Queen did a really good job on making it look better and flow better.
Yay, editing! Woo! I can edit directly! Website layout.
Yeah, let us know what you think of the new website layout. Leave a comment either in the very first thing on the front page, it actually is a thing on the beta site, or in any of the articles. Coming soon, we're actually going to have some forums set up so you guys can post there. And also, we were given some Dead Space 2 literature, which looks good to give out. So leave a comment in the podcast, in the notes for this week's podcast, and I'll randomly choose a few people and then mention them on next week's podcast to get a hold of me, and I'll go ahead and get that stuff, some of that literature sent out to you.
Exclusive E3 swag for your friends.
Only if you're gamers, though.
Oh, I'm going to listen to this. They're called the gamers. And speaking of Dead Space 2, looks freaking awesome. That was my E3 winner. Anybody cares?
It's a bit more of the same if you like the horror genre. Or the, actually, maybe this is about horror suspense, would you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
It's more of that, basically, with poor Isaac, who now has a voice, still getting the shit scared out of him. And he still doesn't have any real better weaponry for his basic
badass suit. Gun. Yeah, he has a new badass suit.
So. Yeah, but you have to work to get that badass
suit. I know, but I still get the badass.
Anywho, so enough of E3. I think that was almost probably about 40 minutes of talking about E3.
It was awesome.
For those of you with, I don't know, any basic cable or a little higher?
Whenever Comedy Central comes through, I don't know. Does it exist in the ceiling?
For those of you who have Comedy Central, you can now watch brand new episodes of Futurama. Yay. Of course, if you actually like Futurama, you already know this, and you've already watched the new episode.
The two episodes.
Which, they actually did this smart, because right before the new episodes, they play Beyond the Wild Green Yonder, which actually leads directly into the new episode. Quite nicely, too.
I need to watch the movies again. It's been a while. I don't remember Ender's Game, because I think I've seen it, like, twice. So they were showing it in New Zealand, and was it their C4 channel?
Yeah. Which is sort of...
the alternative...
It's, like, MTV-ish.
Sorry, channel. Yeah.
See, if it's MTV-ish, does it have pointless reality shows all day long?
Think MTV in the 90s-ish with, like, music videos and weird
shows on it. Yeah, it has all the animation shows, like Family Guy and The Cleveland Show and South Park and Futurama.
Okay.
And also show music videos.
Yeah, they also show music videos. Especially on the weekends. Yeah. But in any case, yeah, they were showing movies, like, little 30-minute clips, like, but, I don't know, I feel like, you know, Futurama is back.
It felt like it never left. Although they did, one of the first things they did was they made a reference to being on like a, on going through the Central Canal for getting back to Earth. Somebody laughed, it's like, yes, it's kind of like a Comedy Central we're on now.
Oh, I get it. Who said that?
Amy.
Didn't they take a shot at Fox?
Right at the beginning, before the episode aired, you have the Hypnotoad, and then you have Bender saying, on the count of three, you will wake up, and you will be happy, and you will forget Futurama had been cancelled by idiots, and then brought back by other idiots. Let's see.
But I had fun watching it again. It was good to see some new material after going through and watching all the seasons.
It was a great episode. I think one thing that really helped it is all the original voice actors came back for it.
Absolutely.
And Proteus just found the Leech Street Boys video and started playing it without me. Irish Pride.
Playing on my new netbook, and I don't know where the volume controls are.
This shiny new netbook. You really need a new netbook. You need a netbook.
Well,
yes.
They should be happy now. I should be doing a lot more reviews. And we just subscribed to Gamefly, so it's new release reviews. Not free.
Yeah, it takes a while to get new
releases. I've been out of the loop for so long that it's going to be 3-year-old games if I can't caught back up. For all the games I'm like, I wish I could buy, but I can't buy them in New Zealand. I have to have them shipped over. Just had up hauling everything home this past time. I don't want to leave a bag if I had to haul more stuff home.
$1,000 on cargo.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like any fun.
No, relocating is not the greatest. It's because then we didn't have furniture and all that fun jazz. It would have been worse. Yeah. Or kids. Or puppies.
I could only imagine how long you'd be before it would be without your dog.
Quarantine. I've heard it takes like 2-3 months, but I don't know how true that is.
That's what I've heard too, is it takes forever to get your dog out of quarantine.
Or kitty.
Or any sort of pet. Let's see, what else? connect was price currently announced of $150. That could change, but currently it looks like we can expect to spend a small fortune for
being able to jump around.
For your body being the controller of the future!
Cost a hell of a lot if I already own the controller.
Well, it's already a used bottle.
Yeah, that's a hell. You're paying $150 to use a used controller.
Hey, you know what we should do? We should go to GameStop and be like, I would like to trade in my Kinect controller.
Oh, you want to work here?
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry.
That's good.
If you happen to live in one of the four locations where you can find a Microsoft store, you can actually play Kinect there. When we were at the one in Lone Tree, yeah, isn't it amazing? Colorado actually got one of these before New York did.
How did that happen?
But if you
usually we're skipped over. Yeah. There's like a huge gap between like Utah and Kansas. It just everybody skips over that part of the states. Everybody always like, what part of the states are you from? They're like, where is that? Is it on the west? But those kind of towards the middle western half. They're like,
is it the flyover area? Looks like this. There's New York, there's LA, and the Midwest. Oh, you live in the Midwest?
Sure.
No, I live in the West.
We live in the Rocky Mountains. That's the easiest way to tell people.
Yeah. But most people in New Zealand, we still Colorado because a lot of them got skiing here. We found a beer that I don't go skiing.
Or their kids or brothers or cousins.
Yeah, everybody we met is like, oh, I have XYZ who lives in Colorado now. It was weird. And we were meeting people from like all over the world who have relatives or somebody who lives here now in Colorado.
See, Colorado is just that awesome. Why aren't more things happening here? Well, maybe this is just the first step in a long line of awesomes.
Coming to Microsoft Store?
Yes.
I was just going to guess test audience.
That could be it too. But anywho, if you go to the store at Park Meadows in Lone Tree, the game that they were doing last night was
dancing.
Yeah, it's the dance game.
Dance off.
Dance off. Yeah, and I'm not sure if the guy actually understood when I said I wanted to. When I asked if I could videotape, I think he thought I meant regular customers and not like me or you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe you should specify. Oh, I don't want to take pictures of those people. Can I take a picture of myself doing it?
So, I think I'll maybe ask that next time we're in the store.
You can call them before you go there.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Although it is a very nice store. A lot of it looks like it's ripped straight out of an Apple store. But then instead of everything being stark, stark white, there's color in the place. Like, the tables are kind of like a wood. Like wood, maybe pine or something, or a light wood color. And then they had Microsoft Surfaces throughout the store as well for you to play with. So it just
Kirby's on the games.
It looked more inviting than an Apple store, to be honest.
Well, there was kids and old people. It wasn't all 20-something hipster guys.
Yeah, the employees ranged the gambit in ages. It didn't seem like there was any sort of specific stereotype that belonged in the store. So it's really, really, actually really nice. I liked their store. But beyond that blatant ripoff of the Apple Store.
I just caught me. Was it? Imitation is a serious form of flattery? So
yeah.
I've been told. So we
and heck, Apple's turning evil. Or.
Oh, we're going to talk about the phone.
Well, I guess we could. Now, nobody in this group actually owns an iPhone.
Or wants to.
Well, the only reason I would ever actually look into an iPhone because of so much music that has been bought on iTunes. It's just convenient in that matter.
Basically, you can only carry it on one device instead of two devices.
Yeah, and my current iPod is hitting the crapper real quickly.
Luckily, mine was stolen before it became obsolete. No, it was several years obsolete.
I think I'd still prefer to get a Droid 2 when it's announced or something. But, if you hold it wrong, you lose all signal completely. And the official announcement to this issue from Apple is, you're holding it wrong.
How do you hold a phone
wrong?
Basically, now the people in Attack the Show were completely cupping the entire thing around their hands, but I'd seen videos where people were just holding it in the left hand with the phone against their palm, and that would bridge the antenna and cause signal degradation until the call eventually drops.
Apparently you can fix it by putting a piece of scotch tape across it.
Or just putting on a rubber case.
Yeah. Oh, so they want you to buy their accessories.
In all reality,
Apple usually makes accessories like that. It's usually third party.
I think Apple has probably a few, but I think most of it's done by third parties. And as much as I would love to criticize Apple, well, okay, I do criticize Apple a lot. Who's not going to have a case? Who's going to spend $300 on a phone and not cover it somehow?
You spent like $100 on a phone?
It's like $150 or something.
But you keep it in a purse.
I keep it in my pocket.
Oh.
Put nothing else in there.
Look, everybody that I know that has an iPhone, I know three people with iPhones in my office. Keep in mind that's a relatively high proportional since there's 10 people in my office.
30%.
One has a hard plastic case with a screen over it that, with a screen over the actual touch screen that's part of the regular case. Another person has a hard rubber case over it that looks like a construction case. Another person actually waited an extra 2 weeks to get his case, which like doubles the size of the phone, but it looks like it could take a shot from a bullet.
He might save his life one day.
That could have been helpful in L.A.
Just make sure you put it in the breast pocket.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it shouldn't be a big issue for most people, but I still find it kind of funny that the official word is, you're holding it wrong. Anywho.
I guess that brings us to the end of another show.
And we promise we'll keep them up again now that we're all back in one area.
Back here, Futurama, we're back.
Well, it's entirely up to you if you actually want to show up more than once.
Well, that way all together would be a lot easier.
We have to take turns carpooling! Yay!
So, send us your comments, questions, concerns, emails, whatever.
We take donations. It's money.
Okay.
Not joking.
Hey, so head to the site, thegameslave.com. Go ahead and just leave us your comments or questions there right on the site now. And in the meantime, game on!
Game on!
Game on!
Game on!